Read between the lines of today's stories about Elon Musk's pitch to start a new political party, a community group battling illegal trash dumping in Oakland, California, and efforts by Hall of Famers to cultivate a new generation of black baseball players, and you might notice a common theme. People are looking for something. Renewal, restoration, selflessness. You can only go so far with changing and impacting people in the game, says Elijah Pinkley, a Morehouse College infielder who received the Impact Award at this year's HBCU Swingmen Classic. There's a lot more that you can do out in the world. It's Tuesday, July 15th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Fighting has escalated in Syria. Clashes between Bedouin tribes, government forces, and the Druze minority have killed dozens. Tit-for-tat violence began Monday in Sweida province after a Druze man was attacked at a Bedouin checkpoint. Government forces intervened and were accused of siding with the Bedouins. Syria remains divided amid a fragile recovery after 14 years of civil war and the fall of President Bashar al-Assad. The Druze see the Islamist-led government as threatening their rights. Israel also struck military tanks in southern Syria Monday. 20 states sued the Trump administration over after-school funding. Washington has frozen billions of dollars in funding for after-school, summer, and other programs. Congress set aside money for the programs at Boys and Girls Clubs, the YMCA, and public schools to provide academic support, enrichment, and child care. The Trump administration says it wants to make sure recipients' programs align with current priorities. The lawsuit filed Monday by 20 Democratic-led states alleges that withholding the money violates the Constitution and several federal laws. Also, Australia is hosting its largest ever military exercise. Called Talisman Sabre, it involves more than 35,000 personnel from 19 nations. The drills, held every 2 years since 2005, showcase the defense alliance between Australia and the United States. Chinese surveillance ships were expected to monitor the exercise, as they have since 2017. The drills coincide with Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's visit to China. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Half a year into President Donald Trump's second term, predictions that his economic policies would drive the United States into either a recession or stagflation, low growth and high inflation, have not come to pass. The economy has proved resilient. Could Americans and U.S. businesses see better times ahead despite the uncertainty and tax that Mr. Trump's tariff policies have imposed? Laurent Belsey reports for The Monitor. Over the past year, more than 24,000 drones have targeted Ukrainian cities and villages, residential buildings, schools, and industrial sites, according to a study by the Center for Information Resilience, a UK-based open-source investigations organization. Russia launched 728 attack and decoy drones on a single night, July 9th, setting a new record for a tactic that has transformed modern warfare. To counter this threat, Ukrainian mobile anti-drone units have emerged as an indispensable defensive line. Our reporter spent a night with one unit in a harvested wheat field in the Odessa region. Howard LaFranchi reports from Ukraine for The Monitor. Elon Musk became the world's richest man through a move-fast-and-break-things pursuit of innovation in tech, electric cars, space rockets. Now, after his acrimonious split from President Donald Trump, the South African-born, self-styled disruptor seeks to disrupt the American political landscape with a new political party. The bid has its skeptics. Since the 19th century, men like Theodore Roosevelt, George Wallace, and Ross Perot have failed trying to shatter the two-party political system. But Mr. Musk has a built-in opportunity those others didn't have. The percentage of voters who identify as independent keeps rising, indicating an appetite for something new. Linda Feldman and Caitlin Babcock report from Washington for The Monitor. When Willie Mays made an over-the-shoulder basket catch on the warning track in Game 1 of the 1954 World Series, it wasn't the ball that he was worried about. It was the long throw back to the infield, where the Indians had runners on first and second with the game tied. In a sense, ever since Jackie Robinson put on number 42, black baseball players have been playing the long game, changing the game, changing society. At the HBCU Swingman Classic last Friday night, it was Ken Griffey Jr.'s turn. The Hall of Famer is trying to nurture a love of the game in a new generation of young ballplayers. Ken Macon reports from Atlanta for The Monitor. Vincent Williams grew up in Oakland, California, where he spent his youth in and out of foster homes and, eventually, prison. Shortly after his release in 2019, he met a boy living in a van with his mother near a park where Mr. Williams had played as a child. The park was strewn with garbage. That encounter sparked a movement. Mr. Williams bought trash bags and picked up the park on his own. He went on to co-found the Urban Compassion Project, a community waste cleanup group driven to remedy illegal dumping. City beautification, he says, is about cleaning up hearts and spirits. Troy Aiden Sambahan reports from Oakland, California for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how fog lifts over Turkey's rift with Kurds. In the Middle East, reconciliation between warring factions, either ethnic or religious, often comes hard. In Turkey, however, small steps in recent weeks have pointed to an end of a four-decade war. They offer a glimpse into a transition to peace that might be able to balance justice and mercy. On Friday, the Kurdistan Workers' Party, designated widely as a terrorist group and known as PKK, began to get rid of its weapons and to disband. The public ceremony came nearly 4 months after the PKK's imprisoned leader, Abdullah Öcalan, called for an end to the goal of an independent state for Kurds, who make up 18% to 20% of Turkey's population, and instead urged the seeking of greater Kurdish rights through democratic means. On Saturday, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan welcomed the start of what may be a long peace process. He plans a commission to ensure the group is dismantled and then integrated into politics. Turks and Kurds are embracing each other in friendship, he said. In a message that could lead to national healing, Mr. Erdogan admitted that past Turkish governments have made mistakes by using wrongful practices. He listed them off. The unsolved murders were one of them. Diyarbakir prison for PKK inmates was one of them. The villages that were burned down, the people forced to flee in a single night, the mothers who couldn't speak Kurdish with their children in prison. Much still needs to be done to start a dialogue among survivors of a war that killed an estimated 40,000 people. In addition, Mr. Erdogan is under suspicion of merely using the peace process to win Kurdish political support in order to change the constitution as a way to stay in power. Resolving the PKK conflict will require serious democratization, while Mr. Erdogan's desire to remain in power requires Turkey to remain an authoritarian regime. Mesut Yan, a researcher at the Reform Institute, an Istanbul think tank, told the Financial Times. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how considering things from the point of view of God, good, is a powerful basis for our prayers for the world. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone, Mackenzie Farkas, and Hannah Gulke.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.